Well, I'm extremely excited about the message this morning, and you might have seen on Facebook that I posted yesterday. I was just pumped. I couldn't help. I had to put something on there that I was excited about my favorite speaker being here with us this morning. It's my wife, Lacey, and I'm telling you what, this message is going to be inspiring and challenging. It's going to be great, and the reason why I know that is because I know her and because I know what her relationship with Jesus is like, and so I believe that God's going to speak through her to all of us. You're going to be encouraged, inspired, and challenged. We're going to leave this place different. Sound good? Yeah. All right. Right before she comes up, you can put a smile on your face because I want you to enjoy this opening clip for her message. Maybe some of you can relate.
Oh. Hey, what?
Don't kill the messenger, but the Sunday school coordinator said to remember your number this time.
Yes, okay, fine. Just please don't page me over something trivial.
The fire department didn't think it was trivial.
Is he? Look at me.
Ah!
I need 1 hour to myself on Mother's Day. Deputies.
Like me with 20 toddlers.
Thank you. You're a servant.
And fix the eye. It's really weird. In for me.
Ever had a morning like that? Yeah. I had many mornings like that, but they were mostly on Sunday mornings when my kids were babies and we were all dressed and ready to go out the door for church. And then one of two wonderful things happened. Either it was spit up all over my shoulder, down the front of my little baby, or it was a catastrophic diaper. And you guys know what I mean by that. I don't have to go into details. And so, I was, of course, late for church most of the time when my kids were babies. But if I'm entirely honest, I still have this natural gifting to run late. Like, it doesn't matter how long I have to be somewhere, like how much time I have to get ready. The last 15 minutes before I'm supposed to go out the door will be a mad rush. Anybody you know have this gifting that I'm talking about? Yes. If your spouse has this gift, Keith feels your pain. And he would be totally willing to counsel with you after service. I think that most of his life has actually been waiting on me. And in our 20 years of marriage, I can't even count how many times I've heard these three words. Are you coming? Sometimes it's in a, like, joking tone, sometimes slightly frustrated, and sometimes simply shocked that I still could not yet be ready to come. You know, our culture has this funny way of responding to that same question, are you coming? And it's called the RSVP. You know, the RSVP originated back in the 11th century, when speaking French became the high fashion among the elite in the English court. It then made its way to the U.S. as the English settled here, and it became the fashion in the U.S. to use French as the language of refinement. The thing I find funny about this abbreviation is that it's not even English. I mean, how many of you actually honestly know what this stands for? Okay, I'm impressed. There are a few of you out there that actually know. Okay, here you go. You're going to learn something today. It stands for Répondez, s'il vous plaît, which is French, obviously, and it means respond if you please. As I was looking online at RSVPs, I found a few that really stood out. It wasn't because of how nice they looked, but it was because of the options that they gave for unfiltered honesty. So we're going to look at a few of these. You put your name, and then you have these options. Gladly attend, regretfully decline, resentfully attend, enthusiastically decline, and will decline to respond, but ultimately attend. There you go. This one says, will attend, will not attend, will say, I plan to attend, then I won't show up without any explanation, even though you already had to pay for my meal, will attend and will bring a date, even though the invite offered no indication that I could bring a date, but you're cool with it, right? And then this one's meal choices. So you can pick roast beef, chicken, vegan, and I refuse to share a table with non-vegans, i.e. murderers. I have a questionably legitimate food allergy. I have so many food allergies, you'll wonder how I'm still alive, let alone could expect to be accommodated at a massive catered event. And the last line is the best. Please return this RSVP several weeks after the date requested when it's pretty much of no use to anyone. There you go. So if you guys are planning a wedding right now, take notes. You might want to use some of these. You know, today we're going to be talking about RSVPs, but not this kind. I've noticed through Scripture and through my journey with the Lord that He actually uses RSVPs. He gives us invitations, and He awaits our response. He doesn't force us to accept the invitation. He allows us the opportunity to accept or to decline. And in a believer's life, the invitations never cease to come. It's not a one and done. Yes, the most incredible invitation is His invitation to salvation. But it's not the only one you will receive throughout your life. And if it is the only one that you've received, there may be some trouble on the receiving end. Because the sender, he doesn't have the problem. He's the creator of the universe. He knows how to send out invitations. It's just that somehow, sometimes, we don't know how to place ourselves in a position to receive them. And sometimes, we're not willing to check that accept box when he sends them. Are you with me this morning? Today we're going to start by looking at a simple invitation, an RSVP, between the Lord and a man named David. But before we do, let's go to the Lord in prayer. We love you, Lord. We welcome your presence here, and we thank you for your Holy Spirit that has been guiding this entire service. Lord, I pray that we would learn from your word, that we would listen to your voice, and I pray that every word that I say will be yours. In your name I pray. Amen. Let's all turn in our Bibles to Psalms 27. Psalms 27. Psalms is right in the middle of your Bible, so it's super easy to find. And it's a collection of songs written mainly by a man named David, who was chosen by God to be the king of Israel. We're going to start in verse 8. Of chapter 27. So Psalms 27, verse 8. David says this to the Lord. My heart has heard you say, come and talk with me. And my heart responds, Lord, I'm coming. Let's read that again. This is what David says to the Lord. My heart has heard you say, come and talk with me. And my heart responds, Lord, I'm coming. In this verse, it's pretty simple to see the invitation in the RSVP, right? What's the Lord's invitation? Come and talk, right? And David responds, he checks the accept box, and he says, I'm coming. It sounds simple, right? But it's not always that simple to receive the Lord's invitations and to check that accept box. So what can we learn from this passage? What can we learn so that we can respond as David did? As I've studied this and I've prayed over it, I feel like there are four questions we must answer as we consider the Lord's invitations and our RSVPs. First one, what's the thing that you seek most? This may sound like a strange place to start, but the answer to this question will directly affect if you receive the invitation and how you respond to it. Let's look in the same chapter, Psalms 27, to find how David answered this question about what he sought most. We're going to read verse 4. Psalms 27, 4, David says, "The one thing I ask of the Lord, the thing I seek most, is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, delighting in the Lord's perfections and meditating in his temple." What did David seek most? To be with the Lord all the days of his life, to be in his presence. Now, if I went down the pews right now and I asked all of you who are followers of Jesus, what is the thing that you seek most? We all know what the right answer is, right? We all know that we should say Jesus. And I pray that it's not only the right answer for most of you, but it's the honest one. However, the truth is that what we'd like to seek most and what we actually seek most are not always the same. We have one reality that we'd like to project, that we are passionate Christ followers who always make time for him and always want to answer his invitations. But the actual reality might be that our time with him has been less than consistent, and we haven't really heard or responded to any of his invitations in quite some time. I'm going to be quite transparent with you this morning, and I'm going to share about some seasons of my life, about the things that I sought most. It's not the reality I'd like to project, but it's the actual reality of how I would have honestly responded to the question, what do you seek most, in different seasons of my life. So here goes. As an early teenager, I sought to answer the question that a lot of girls seek to answer, am I lovely? I had a low perception of myself, and so I sought out people that would positively answer that question, specifically boys. Then I sought after being the best student I could be. I think I thought the world would totally fall apart if I got a B. Now, is it a bad thing to want to be a good student? All the parents respond? No, absolutely not. But if it takes precedence over my desire for him, it's not healthy. Then I met Keith. Wow. The thing... Oh, yeah. The thing I sought most became time with this cute boy. And in between my studying and my tanning salon job, I spent every moment with him. Was it a bad thing to want to spend time with him? No, he was and is an awesome man. He's still cute and funny and godly, and he always treats me the way a woman should be treated, with respect and with love. But, in all honesty, during my teenage years, I sought time with him more than time with Jesus. And that was not okay. Then we started youth ministry when I was the ripe old age of 19. We were just married. I wanted to be the best youth pastor's wife ever. I wanted to be their biggest cheerleader and be available to them at all times. And I think that there were times when my desire to minister trumped my desire for time with Jesus. There's a quote I heard Pastor Joel share in a staff meeting that I immediately wrote down, and it says this: "No amount of activity in the king's service will make up for neglecting the king himself." It's so true, but it's an easy trap for us to fall into. Even those of us doing good things, because we can't get busy doing good things and neglect doing the best thing. Then I started my career. I got a great job teaching 7th and 10th grade English and speech and drama. It was a blast, but it was a lot of work. And I wanted so badly to show people that I had what it took to do the job well, that I was going to be a great teacher, that I think that for a season, success in my career is what I sought most. Then we entered parenting season. We had little Ethan. And I wanted so badly to be the best mom for him, and I didn't have a clue what to do with a child. Not a clue. So I read all the books, because that's what you're supposed to do, right? I read what to expect when you're expecting, what to expect the first year, anything that had a what to expect in it, I was on it. And I sought after being the greatest mom possible. I fed him all four food groups. I made sure he was physically active. He was learning his numbers and ABCs, and he was being socialized, because that's very important too. I also wanted so badly to be a mom who led all of her kids to seek and to love Jesus. And I still want this desperately. It's just that I've learned, and I'm still learning, that I love my kids best when I love Jesus first. All that other stuff, as good as it is, has to take a back seat to mom seeking Jesus first. And if we do that as moms, if we actually seek him first, even over time with our husbands and with our kids, everything else somehow falls into place. We love others best by loving Jesus first. David had it right. When we spend time in his presence, everything else fades in comparison. There's a song I remember singing a lot when I was a little girl, and it went like this. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. When we seek him first, everything else that we once sought suddenly seems not as important. So, I've shared about some seasons of my life of what I sought first. How about you? What do you seek first? Not what did you seek first in the past, or what do you want to seek first, but what do you honestly seek first, seek most right now? Because what you seek will directly affect if you receive his invitations and how you respond to them. Second question I'd like us to look at as we consider the Lord's invitations is this. Are you listening for the Lord's invitations? We moms, we know how to multitask, right? We have to, or we wouldn't survive. Like, we're putting a Band-Aid on one kid's paper cut while stirring the mac and cheese while disciplining the other kid for dropping the dog on his head again. Like, we've got this. We're multitaskers. I actually sometimes pride myself in my ability to do this because I can get so much done, or so I think. Because sometimes in the process of me shooting someone a text or checking email or looking at Kohl's sale online or putting one more thing on my grocery list, I miss things. I sometimes miss truly listening to my loved ones. Maybe I heard what my daughter said about the cool thing that happened at school that day, but I missed the sparkle in her eye. Or maybe I asked about my son's day and I heard him say, it was okay. But I missed the hurt that flashed across his face because of something that happened at school that day. Or maybe I'm listening to Keith, but I'm not really hearing him because I'm not completely focused on him. There have been times when I've been looking at my phone, texting or looking on Facebook or whatever, and he's trying to talk to me, and he'll look at me and he'll just say, let me know when you're done. Ooh, that used to bother me. But now I know that he doesn't want to share my attention, and he shouldn't have to. I think sometimes we try to approach the Lord the same way. Okay, Lord, I'm here spending time with you, but I've got a busy schedule today. And so I'm going to multitask a bit while we're having our time together. And I have some things I need to put on my grocery list. And I've got about 10 minutes left before I need to go. So if you could just say whatever you need to say quickly, that would really help me out. I know it sounds crazy, but it's been me at times. And I think honestly, it's probably been you too. Our culture is just one of busyness. And I read that actually it's becoming a status symbol to be busy, like something to be proud of. Strange. How many times, though, do we ask how someone is doing and they respond busy? I know I respond like that. We're apparently in this culture of busyness, but we're not real happy about it, but we don't know how to slow down. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 3, David's son Solomon gives us a great piece of advice. Solomon says this, "Do not be in a hurry to leave the king's presence." Do not be in a hurry to leave the king's presence. I wonder if he learned this one from his dad. We have to learn how to not be in a hurry when it comes to time with the king, even in a culture of busyness. You know, the Lord has been so good at giving me those gentle yet firm nudges when my schedule gets out of hand. I remember one day I was looking at my calendar at all the things I had to do that week and all the meetings and the coffee dates and the other things I had to do. And the Holy Spirit said to me, "When is my coffee date with you? When's my coffee date with you?" You know, it's kind of hard to hear him talk if we're not giving him the opportunity to do so. You know, I'm all for praying and worshiping the Lord while cleaning and cooking and driving and whatever works for your schedule. But there also have to be times in your schedule when you put everything else aside, phone included, and just sit at his feet and listen. Otherwise, you won't hear his invitations and you'll miss out. I read something in a book by Dick Brockaden that made me stop and write it down. This is what he said. He said, "Task-oriented, efficient, hard-working individuals sometimes struggle with the seeming passivity of abiding in Jesus. We will not be remembered for what we have done. What will affect people is whether or not we have lavished consistent attention on Jesus." For some of us, especially those of us that are used to a busy schedule and we're checking off the things on our to-do list, abiding in Jesus, spending quiet time with him, reading his word, listening to his voice, can be a challenge. It can even seem unproductive sometimes, but it's actually the opposite. Time with him is the one thing that gives our life true purpose and makes us truly productive in the things that matter. And really, we don't have much time here on earth anyway, so we've got to make it count. Look at Psalms 39, 4 through 6. David says, "Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. Remind me that my days are numbered, how fleeting my life is. You have made my life no longer than the width of my hand. My entire lifetime is just a moment to you. At best, each of us, but a breath. We are all merely moving shadows, and all our busy rushing ends in nothing. We heap up wealth, not knowing who will spend it." Kind of gives us a dose of reality. Lord, remind us of these things. Teach us to stop our busy rushing to spend it with you and to hear your voice, because that's what leads to a truly productive life. And so I ask you, are you listening to the Lord's invitations? David said, "My heart has heard you say." Can you say that to the Lord? Your heart has heard him? How long has it been since you've heard him? The third question I'm going to ask is going to take a little bit more thought and maybe some prayer as well, and here it is. What is the Lord's invitation to you? Right now, I would like each person here to take an RSVP card from the pew in front of you, or if you're on a front row, there should be some at the end of both sides. Take an RSVP card. There should be enough for everyone. This is your response card for today that you will take home with you, and I will give you time at the end of the message to fill it out. But the reason why I want you to look at this right now is because I want you to begin to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit as I talk about the Lord's invitations. I want you to begin considering what you will write in this space that says the Lord's invitation. What is the Lord's invitation to you this morning? I ask you to consider that. Consider what you may be writing in this space at the end of the message. You don't have to fill it out now. Just put it aside and be listening. Let me begin by saying that the Lord sends out both general and specific invites. Romans 10:9 says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. What an invitation. It's the invitation to be made right with him, something we don't deserve and we could never deserve, but he gives it to us by grace. How amazing is that invitation? The next invitation is Matthew 11:28. Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. What an invitation and what a promise. John 7:37 tells us that on the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Jesus said he was the bread of life, the living water, that anyone who came to him would never hunger and never thirst again. We can have all we need. Mark 16:15, Jesus says, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. This is the invitation that we get to share this amazing truth with the whole world. We have a God that loved us enough to die for us and was powerful enough to raise from the dead. The good news is good news. Matthew 25:34, Jesus tells a parable and he says this. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. This is the invitation for Jesus' followers, the sheep on his right, that we get to be with him for all of eternity. How awesome is that? And those are just a few of them. There are many more. The general invites that the Lord sends out, he does three things. He reminds us of who he is. Psalms 34:8 says, taste and see that the Lord is good. And he invites us to be reminded of that. He's a good father. He also invites us to be renewed. He invites us to come when we're weary. He invites us to have refuge. He invites us to be confident in place of fear, to have peace over anxiety, to have freedom over addictions. He invites us to all of this. He renews and refreshes us. And then he invites us to be made ready. Ready to meet him in eternity and ready to go out into the world and share this good news with everyone around. And he even tells us how to do it. Ephesians 6 says we are made ready by putting on all of God's armor so that we can stand firm against all the strategies of the enemy. And the Lord assures us that while we're putting on this armor and we're getting ready to go into the world, that he is with us. I read this visual picture of what it looks like in this book, and I just have to share it with you. Both my hands are held. I am as secure as a little child holding the hands of two strong parents. That child can walk anywhere, through Cairo traffic, along cliffs, beside crashing waves, over thorns and thistles, on hot cement or frozen sidewalks. That child can run freely in green pastures or be lifted up cliffs, hoisted over crevices, or guided over train tracks. The Father holds one hand, the Son the other, and the Spirit guides me along. The Father holds one hand, the Son the other, and the Spirit guides me along. The Lord invites us to be reminded of who he is, renewed and made ready. But all the while, he's holding our hands and he's guiding us along. And that's important to remember because sometimes the specific invites are a little more difficult to check that accept box. You see, some of you get specific invitations to move to a different city or a different country. Some of you are invited to serve in a specific ministry. Specific invitations go out to tell a coworker about Jesus, to make devos with your kids a priority, to break off an unhealthy relationship, to ask for forgiveness from someone, to walk in godly confidence in a specific area, to intercede in prayer for your neighbor, to believe for a miracle in your children's lives, to trust his timing, to have increased faith for healing, to walk in freedom over addictions, to work on your marriage, to learn how to slow down and rest, to show kindness and patience towards a family member. And for some of you, you receive the specific invitation, like David did, to just come and talk with him more. Only you and the Lord know the specific invites, and you only receive them if you have taken the time to listen. And so the last question is this: what's your RSVP? What's your response to his invitation? Will you accept or will you decline? Because there's really only two options, but some of us like to insert another one in there. And there's people in the Bible that did the same thing. Let's look at Luke 9, 59 through 62. He, being Jesus, said to another person, "Come follow me." The man agreed, but he said, "Lord, first let me return home and bury my father." But Jesus told him, "Let the spiritually dead bury their own dead. Your duty is to go and preach about the kingdom of God." Another said, "Yes, Lord, I will follow you. But first, let me say goodbye to my family." But Jesus told him, "Anyone who puts a hand to the plow and then looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God." Now, what was the invitation in this passage? Jesus invited these men to follow him, right? What a crazy invitation. Like, come, walk with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let's watch the blind receive their sight. Let's watch the lame walk. Let's watch people be raised from the dead. What an amazing invitation. But what was the RSVP of these two men? The first man agreed. The second man says, "Yes, Lord, I will follow you." Like, it sounds like an accept box at first, right? But wait, let's look again. What two words does the second man use right after he says, "Yes, Lord, I will follow you"? But first, these two words completely change the man's RSVPs. It's, "I will accept your invitation, but it will be on my terms, and it will be in my timing. I'll accept your invitation when I feel like it." You know, I use this RSVP about 16 years ago when the Lord made it clear it was time for me and Keith to do some overseas missions. And I knew the Lord had placed missions on my heart when I was a teenager, but I didn't know when he would call me to go. And when I really wasn't ready to accept his invitation whenever it came. We had just had little Ethan. He wasn't even a year old yet. And we were living what I considered to be the perfect life. I mean, we were ministering to youth. I was having fun staying home, taking care of Ethan. And life couldn't have been better. And then Keith, he messed it all up. He came to me and he said he wanted me to start praying about answering God's call to go on the mission field. I was devastated. I was mad. I was scared. I fought, I cried, I fought some more, and then, you know what I did? I checked the "but first" box, and I said this: "Yes, Lord, I will go, but first, Ethan needs to be a little older. I mean, really, he's just a baby. The mission field, it's not really the greatest place for babies. There are diseases, it's dirty. Lord, you must know all this. So I will put that invitation on hold, and we'll talk about that later." And then I told Keith about my plan, my butt first box, right? And he didn't think it was the will of God. And so I prayed some more, and we ended up going. I knew that my butt first box was not the will of God. And we had an incredible faith-building adventure. The Lord was faithful, and Ethan turned out pretty good nonetheless. Do you have an invitation from the Lord that you are putting on hold? Are you checking the "but first" box like I did? Maybe you haven't yet made Jesus the King of your life. Maybe you believe in what he did, but you haven't really put him on the throne. Your RSVP maybe goes something like this: "Jesus, I'm going to put you on the throne of my life, but first, I kind of want to do what I want to do for a while. So we'll put that off for a little bit." Maybe your RSVP goes something like this. I'm going to have more consistent time with you, Jesus, but first, the kids need to sleep through the night. My job needs to get less hectic. The sports season needs to end, and I need to get through this class. Or maybe this is your RSVP. I'm going to allow you, Jesus, to use me to serve and to influence others and to tell them about you. But first, I need to know the Bible a little better. And I need to stop struggling with that sin. And I need to figure out your voice a little bit more. And I need to wait for the right time. So I'll just put that on hold. What's the Lord inviting you to? What's your RSVP? Maybe the Lord hasn't invited you to any of the specific things I mentioned, but I guarantee that he's inviting you to something. And I also guarantee that it's probably out of your comfort zone. How can I guarantee that? Because the Lord most often doesn't call us to do things that are within our ability to easily do. He calls us to do things that he knows we can't do, because then we have to lean on him and he gets all the glory for it. He invites us to believe his word, that his grace truly is sufficient for us, that his power is made perfect in weakness. I know I'm weak. I know it. I know that I cannot do what the Lord has invited me to do. But you know what I also know? I know that he will never forsake me. I know that I can do all things through him who gives me strength. I know that he will equip me to do what he has called me to do. And I know that he does immeasurably more than all I can ask or imagine. So I don't have to check the but first box anymore. How about you? What is your RSVP to the Lord's invitation? Will you accept or will you decline? Because there's only two options. Right now, I'd like everyone to get out your RSVP card. As you've noticed, there's a place to write your name and to check the appropriate box. But there's also space here for you to write the invitation that the Lord is giving you today. For some of you, this is easy. You've been checking the but first box for a long time, and you already know what he's been inviting you to do. For others of you, maybe the Holy Spirit highlighted something during the message. I was praying for that he would be highlighting things during the message that he's inviting you to. And for others of you, you simply need some time to just listen to the Lord's voice and figure out what it is you should write in that space, what it is he's inviting you to. And so I'm going to give you a moment to do just that, to listen to the Lord. But first, let me pray. Lord, I pray that our ears would be open and our hearts receptive to exactly what you are speaking to us right now in this moment. Lord, I pray that we would respond in faith, trusting you that you can do far more in us and through us than we could ever imagine. And so, Lord, we give you time. We wait on you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Keith will come back up in a moment, but first, let's listen to the King, the sender of the invitations.
Thank you.
What a powerful message. Many of us are challenged by the Lord as He has been sending invitations to us, and the question is, are we responding to them? And I'm sure there are a myriad of invitations that the Lord has been sending all across this place, even during this service, into our hearts. One of the main ones that she talked about was just spending time with the Lord. You know, Jesus said, if you abide with me, I'll abide with you. And the greatest things in our lives happen as we have spent extravagant time with Jesus. We try to make it about everything else. It's about being with Him. So many times we want to be in front of Him, doing things, and the best things happen when we're behind Him, spending time with Him. And for some of you, this might be a new concept, to spend time with God. I mean, you come to church, you've been coming for a while, but to spend time with God. And if I could just boil it down to make it so practical for some of you doing this, and for some of you maybe this is new, but it is as basic as getting on the couch, stepping outside on the patio, opening your Bible, getting away from distractions, maybe getting a journal out, that's what I like to do, and just you read. And just let the Lord speak to you. Sometimes it helps to have worship music playing in the background just to help you get past distractions. I want you to know this. Spending time with the Lord, answering that invitation in your life, is the number one game changer in your life that you'll ever experience. It will, over time, affect every single area of your life. It'll affect your parenting. It'll affect your marriage. It'll affect your relationships and your friendships. It'll affect your job. It will affect every single area of your life. By choosing to step away from things and choosing to spend extravagant time with the Lord. As you head out and go into this week, can I encourage you not to think of this in terms of we should do this or I should do this? Would you think of it in terms of this? I can do this. I can spend time with the King. And He wants to spend time with me. An invitation like this is something that we go home with, and then we pray for His courage to follow through, to live it out, to obey, to abide with Him, and see Him do the work in our lives. I'm so glad we could spend this day together. I'm so thankful for His presence in this place, for this powerful message. It just inspires us to spend time with Him and answer His invitations, whatever they might be. And for all of you mothers that are out there, can I just say thank you? Thank you for being awesome. Thank you for loving us and caring for us and always having Band-Aids in your purse. And just thank you for never giving up on us and for just being great moms. And if for any of you out there that you think you're not a great mom, I want to encourage you that God has equipped you to do what you're doing, have done, and God is going to use all of the things that you've taught your kids to impact them for the rest of their lives. We love you. We're so thankful for you. And this morning, as you leave the auditorium, we have a beautiful carnation for you, just a special gift that we want each of the ladies in the house to have. We've already delivered them to the different children's classes because we have moms in there and ladies in there that are teaching and loving kids, and they've already received one. And then for all the ladies that are present here today, as you head out, we just have a special thing for you. Why? Because you matter. Every single one of you. You matter to God, and you matter to us. Let me pray for you. Lord, I thank you for your presence that is in this place. I thank you that you have spoken to us through worship songs, through a choir song. You've spoken to us through prayer, and you have spoken to us through your message from the Word. And Lord, I pray that you will take those seeds that you've planted, and that you will water them and cause them to take root in our lives, that we will be a people who answer the invitations from God, that we will be a people who check mark yes. Every time. That's our RSVP to you. Yes, we will be with you. Yes, we will obey you. Yes, we will serve you. And Lord, I pray that your favor will be on everyone that is here as they walk out of this place. May this be a week when they experience the presence of God every single day. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. You can stand. So thankful that you're here. So thankful we could spend this day together. We love you. Happy Mother's Day.